welcome back. Okay, it's Monday, time for Mitchell Henderson, and he's got a lot to say tonight. This whole issue that's going on now should outrage any commonly decent human being, no matter what their religious persuasion is. And if you do any study at all on it, as I mentioned in hour one tonight, you'll find out that there are at least 8 or 10 Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, soldiers, women and men, just basically incredulous that something like October 7th could happen. It couldn't happen. It was like 9/11. It was an inside job to gain the upper hand geopolitically and to somehow accrue the momentum to go in and commit a true Holocaust on an innocent people, which is going on right now. And as I kindly submitted last hour, hour before last, the Arab world is looking more and more like it is not going to come to the aid of the Palestinian people. And the answer as to why is very simple. The Jewish government in Israel has informed through back channels all the major Arab countries that if you get involved, you will be nuked. And that's why they're not going to do anything. Now, the only light in terms of balancing this out would be if Pakistan shipped nukes to Turkey. And they've already offered to do it, from what I understand. You need nukes? You got them. One Muslim nation to another. And that would balance things out real quick. So we'll see. All right, Mitchell, welcome back. How goes it?
Good. So I want to try to help people understand world events through these stand downs. Okay.
Yes.
Because stand downs can explain much of the illogical things that are going on. The purpose of a stand down is to create chaos, to create fear, so that people would demand government restrictions and control over them. Lenin wrote this in 1919 in a pamphlet called "Order Out of Chaos." So the stand down is a regularly used tactic. I mean, 9/11 was it. I mean, we do it all the time to testify us going to war and stuff. For example, in the past week, Robert Card, who went on a mass shooting spree in Maine on October 25th, was a 20-year Army reservist whose Army Reserve commander made him go to inpatient mental health this summer because he was hearing voices telling him to kill everyone at the armory. He was institutionalized for 2 weeks. The armory is not likely on any given day to have many people in them. So if he wanted to do a mass shooting, he would pick other venues that were soft targets. In retrospect, it is very hard for the government to have not seen this coming. The federal government, the Army Reserve, which is the federal government, itself knew about his mental issues and homicidal ideation. Card's family also knew that he had severe issues and homicidal ideation. This was an intentional stand down to create the pretext for banning semi-automatic rifles. They all are. Las Vegas several years ago. That was that mass shooting there. That was it too. They all stand down for these all the time. And Nicholas Cruz at Parkland High School. They knew, the FBI knew about him. They knew everything about him, but nobody stopped him.
Yeah,
the government must take these weapons away from people because they want to take away all of your other rights and impose truly onerous demands upon us. Okay. So this was interesting. On the morning of October 26, the news also reported on the case of Andrew Warrender, who entered Turnberry Towers in Las Vegas, Nevada, with an AR-15 4 months ago to commit a mass shooting. His rifle jammed after firing a few shots, and an employee took that opportunity to shoot Warrender. The reason this was in the news is because Warrender was being released on a $40,000 bond on the day after Robert Card did his shooting. This certainly looks intentional and not merely stupid. It's too stupid to be stupid. Okay. Do you see the connection?
Well,
the morning
well
after a mass shooting.
That's a good phrase. I like it. Good.
The the morning after a mass shooting in Maine, a judge lets another mass shooter out onto the streets again so that maybe he will do a better job mass murdering people the next time. He's not allowed to have a gun, but how can you stop him if he is determined and obsessed with doing it? So the Zionists want as many of these murder-obsessed people running free as possible, and our government at every level stands down to facilitate it. Guns are not the problem. The government is the problem. The reason why we have a Second Amendment is that the government is a problem. The Founding Fathers had foresight. They knew that the arrogant ruling elites are a threat to humanity. And they gave us the Second Amendment to protect ourselves. Joe Biden criticized the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, for saying that the human heart is responsible for these mass shootings rather than the gun. Gun violence is a brainwashing meme meant to shape the narrative so that the weak and lazy minds can come to the only conclusion that the solution to gun crime is to ban all civilian ownership of guns. In order to target white people, diversity, equity, and inclusion, critical race theory, critical gender theory are shoved down our throats to get us to hate people of color, feminists, and sodomites so that those people can feel under siege and hate white people and the Christians that are opposed to the sodomites. This is a Zionist tactic. I was informed by an anti-Zionist Jew last week that it is a Zionist tactic to create hatred for Jews in order to get any opposition to their program made into hate crimes and to silence all opposition. Zionism is not Judaism, and you do not have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. Not all Jews are Zionists. He explained that the Zionists want all Jews to feel the heat, to take the blame and be victimized for what the Zionists are doing. Zionism uses the persecution of Jews as a shield to disallow any criticism of it. Zionism is the Antichrist. Just as a Jew that loves God cannot be a Zionist, a Christian that loves God cannot, a Christ cannot be a Zionist. Zionism is Satan worship, plain and simple. Last week, Noah Tishby, who is an Israeli actress, and she was in shows like Nip Tuck, Big Love, NCIS, is the Israeli special envoy for combating anti-Semitism and delegitimization of Israel, repeated what Mike Pompeo said when he was Secretary of State, that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. That is an obvious lie. Once again, more than 97% of all Semites are Arab Muslims, and they are all anti-Zionists, so how can they be anti-Semitic? In addition, not all Jews are Zionists, and many are anti-Zionists, so how can they be anti-Semitic? Saying anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism is like saying silence is violence, gun violence, gender is a social construct and not real, race is a social construct and not real, abortion is a human right, or LGBT is a human right. They're all brainwashing, illogical memes. Last week, we saw the epitome of Zionist arrogance and the self-righteousness when the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations demanded that the UN Secretary General resign because he did not kowtow to the Zionist narrative that Israel is the only victim in this war that's going on. Israel followed up by denying visas to all UN personnel. Do you see it? A pretext for keeping UN human rights officials from witnessing Israeli war crimes and wars, crimes against humanity in Gaza and the West Bank. Zionist Satanism is bold. When Amnesty International truthfully stated that both Hamas and Israel are guilty of war crimes, Israel called Amnesty International anti-Semitic. In Los Angeles last week, they forced a Jewish city council assistant to resign for making anti-Semitic tweets. She's Jewish, and they made him resign because he made anti-Semitic tweets. You see, it's got nothing to do with your religion. It's got everything to do with Zionism. Not even Jews are safe from the anti-Semitic witch hunts. You see, it is not Jewish people that they are trying to protect. It is Zionist theology that they are protecting. We are seeing conservative Republicans calling for people to be canceled, arrested, or deported for criticizing Israel. Can you criticize Christ? You can criticize Christ, Christianity, and Christian values all you want, but you cannot criticize Israel, Judaism, or Zionism. Their hypocrisy is overwhelming. Nikki Haley is the worst. She said on October 28th, quote, as president, I will change the official federal definition of anti-Semitism to include denying Israel's right to exist. And I will pull schools' tax exempt status if they do not combat anti-Semitism in all of its forms in accordance with federal law. Federal law requires schools to combat anti-Semitism. The October 7th massacre and the ensuing weeks have proven that we have what we have long learned, that there is no difference between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism. Nikki Haley wants the federal government to establish a state religion where Zionism is the only true God and cultural Marxism is the only true faith. Not just one nation under Zionism, but one world under Zionism. It appears to be clear that Zionism is the new world faith, and that if you do not submit to it, you are worthy of death. Do you see what Israel is doing in Gaza, cutting off electricity, water, communications, food, medicine, indiscriminate murder of innocent civilians? We are to mourn the 40 Israeli babies slaughtered by Hamas, but not the 3,000 Palestinian babies killed. My God, when you see injured toddlers pulled from the rubble in a state of shock, is that not an apocalyptic hellscape right there? That is the most scary, terrible thing that you can do. This is your children next, because the Zionists fully intend to exterminate you after you pay for the extermination of Muslims. Remember Rabbi Schneerson, he said that this is the fate of all Muslims, Christians, and white people. I'm not telling you this. Rabbi Schneerson is. When it comes to Jews, listen to the Jews who do not believe in God. They see Zionism as Jewish. Listen to the Jews that do believe in God. They see Zionism as Jewish Marxism and are vocal about not supporting the ethnic cleansing and war crimes against the Palestinians. Why do Christians blindly support Israeli war crimes when religious Jews do not? We have seen the not-in-our-name Jewish protesters in the Capitol and Grand Central Station in New York demanding a ceasefire in Palestine and opposing the genocide of the Palestinian people. This is very inconvenient for the Zionists because they want everybody to hate Jews so they can perpetuate their "we are the victims" propaganda to justify being exempt from war crimes and crimes against humanity so that they can genocide the Palestinians. They want you to say Jew instead of Zionist because people are already conditioned to ignore people who speak broadly against all Jews. They intend to exterminate all Christians, Muslims, and white people, and they need us to help justify that. The Zionists have already co-opted many Christians into Zionism by the trick of making them believe that they have to support Zionism in order for Christ to return. This is absurd. Christians are supposed to give all all support to Satan so he can destroy all Christians? That's absurd. The God of Christian Zionism is Israel, and that is a false God. If you are a Christian that supports Israel, you have already received the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast in your forehead is Zionism. Zionism has created the narrative that almost all in the West believe in. It is not okay to disobey the Ten Commandments, and one of those commandments is to have no other gods before God. For Christians, that means that Judaism is not your God. You are a Gentile, and Israel is not your God. Zionism is the anti-God and the anti-Christ. It is okay to be critical of Satan. So let me just try to summarize this, okay? Anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism. This is the big lie of our time. Zionism is, in fact, anti-Semitism because they want to exterminate all Muslims who are the vast majority of Semites. Anti-Zionism is not even anti-Judaism. Zionism will gladly exterminate real Jews. Who do you think the Zionists killed with their Gaza border intelligence and military stand down? There are reports from Israel claiming that the Israeli Defense Forces even killed many of the Jews on October 7th to
That's
make
correct.
Sure things were as bad as possible.
Those are eyewitnesses, and there's several of them. That's right. That's right.
At the beginning of September, the Zionist government in Israel even seized all the weapons that belonged to the people in the border settlements. They left their own people defenseless. But they were not their own people, because Zionism is Jewish Marxism, and they do not believe in God. There's even an organization called Jews United Against Zionism. Okay, I mean, this is flies right in the face of our government narrative. Christian Zionists are the fellow travelers of Jewish Zionists. In the Christian book of Revelation, Christ states clearly that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what are now the Zionists, were the synagogue of Satan. The Antichrist is a Zionist, and Zionism is his conspiracy against humanity. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were sellouts to the Romans, interested in worldly power and riches. Nothing has changed except the name. They are now called Zionists, and criticizing them is forbidden. Zionism is an ancient evil. If you support Israel, you support the Antichrist. Christians need to wake up to this. If you oppose Zionism, you are not anti-Semitic, and you're not even anti-Judaism. Even Jews know the difference between the real Jews and the fake Jews of Zionism. Judaism believes in God. Zionism hates God and hates all the people who believe in God. This is the truth. What the government of the United States wants you to believe is a lie, a Zionist lie, the big lie of our times. Let me get on to the... people need to wake up to that. I mean, they're pushing this anti-Semitism thing so strong, you know, and it's like Voltaire said, the people you're not allowed to criticize are the people that control you, okay?
You got it.
They're the people in charge.
He knew.
So it's so apparent.
Right. Absolutely right. It's all disgusting. It's all disgusting,
yes, it
Rich. I look at these images, and I mentioned earlier tonight, whenever you look at these videos of the so-called skyline, what's left of it, in Gaza, all these buildings just demolished, you need to remember that the Red Crescent, the Red Cross over there, rescue, they didn't even look anymore. It's too dangerous for them to go out. They can't. They're going to be blown to pieces. They've lost many, many paramedics and medics over there. Many. The Jews are annihilated. The Zionist Jews are annihilating everyone. And they have body pieces all over the place, trapped people in the buildings they can't even begin to get to. They can't do it. So when you see that devastation and damage, you're seeing the work of a satanic evil on this planet. That's all it is. It's horrific.
No one's going to stop it. On YouTube, there's a site called Weeb Union, and I've been following them for a long time because they talk about the Ukraine war. He breaks it down militarily very good. Well, he's doing, you know, Israel, too, including videos of the action on the ground. And he shows a video of an Israeli tank. There's a car, just a private car.
I ran the video.
Like a family
I saw
of five
it.
In it, and bam.
Family,
and
three people.
Blew it up.
Three.
Yeah.
Hit it
yeah.
from about... 50 yards with a tank round, the car was just gone.
Yeah.
There was nothing left of it. Three people just snuffed instantly, gone.
And Americans, you have 2,000 Special Forces guy, Delta Force, over there in Gaza Strip right now, assisting Israel committing war crimes. These are war crimes, people. It is not acceptable. It is war crimes. Okay, so let me get on to the military strategy in Russia, because last time I was saying I was going to ask.
Let me ask you one thing, Mitch, before you do that, please.
Sure, go ahead.
Did you see the story? And it came from the Palestinian side that a large number of special forces went in there with a smaller number of Jewish soldiers to try to, quote, find and rescue the hostages. How stupid. But anyway, they went in there, into Gaza, and according to Colonel Doug McGregor, they were shot to pieces. They had medevac flights coming in trying to carry the dead and wounded out. They were ambushed and virtually destroyed. And we know that Hamas has dozens of anti-tank Javelin missiles and so forth that they can use on these tanks. We'll see what happens. But did you hear anything about American Special Forces being shot to pieces? McGregor said it was true. His sources told him. And he doesn't mess around.
I know that they're there, okay, and it's Delta Force, so they're going to do, that's what they're there for. They're there to do very high-profile, you know, like rescue operations and stuff like that. I mean, Delta Force was created as a hostage response team. That's what they were made for.
Back to the Munich Olympics, you know, right? Wasn't that it?
Well, it was the 1980, Charlie Beckwith, Colonel Charlie Beckwith. In 1980, they attempted the hostage rescue of the embassy in Iran, but that one failed.
Okay. I remember.
But,
yeah.
But that's where Delta Force began. That's what they were created for, okay? So right. I do not doubt that one bit, because that is their main purpose, okay? They do other things, but that's what they were created for. So the military strategy in Russia is a stand down, just like everything else in our world. You can tell by their absolute refusal to do what is strategically sound. You see, Ukraine has nowhere to attack but along a very well-fortified line that they cannot penetrate. They have no other option because NATO will not allow them to carry the war north of Luhansk into Russia proper to do an envelopment of Russian forces. Russia, however, is free to envelop Ukrainian forces by invading north of Kharkov along an undefended border and seeping west with almost no resistance. Russia already told NATO that if they sent long-range missiles to Ukraine, it would cause Russia to take Ukraine east of the Dnieper River. So why haven't they? And why did Russia throw away both Russian lives and over 50 pieces of armored equipment to try and take Avdiivka? That was a typical Ukrainian operational tactic. So why was Russia so incredibly stupid? This was the same ignorant and wasteful tactics as the World War French and British generals fighting on the Western Front. They don't have to do that. So why are they?
That's a big question. That's a big. Hold on. That's a big niche. That's really big.
Yes.
I've watched this very closely, as have you, and as have many of you listening. Mm-hmm. And this war is World War I all over again with high tech. There's no gain and no loss to report of any significance. They're patty caking back and forth. Bakhmut was the last big victory the Russian military can claim, and that was performed, of course, by Prigozhin's brilliant PMC Wagner, which doesn't exist anymore, basically. I think it was the Russian government that took Prigozhin out and his entire general staff, so to speak. That's my guess. But whatever. Here's the bottom line. The Russians sent in dozens and dozens of tanks and APCs, each have with 15 troops inside of them, and they got their butts kicked. They lost a lot of men and equipment. We're not hearing about the Russian losses, obviously. But this was an attack on Avdiivka, which was stupid, as you said, means nothing, and didn't need to be fought. It didn't have to happen. They're fighting as dumb as the Ukrainians are. I don't get it.
Well, yeah, listen. What's killing all the... What's stopping the Ukrainians from making advances? Landmines. So what took out most of the Russians in Avdiivka?
Landmines?
Landmines. The same thing. It's just... Mm-hmm. It's just bizarre, you know? So I had to ask my sources directly. There were several points of view. Okay, the troops in Luhansk and Donetsk, they believe it is because Putin is super loyal to his friends, that he puts his friends before the nation for his own security. Defense Minister Shoigu is Putin's best friend. They do things together. Shoigu has a Ukrainian mother who lived in Donetsk. Ukrainian, not Russian, Ukrainian. Shoigu is not a military guy and is not capable of tactical operational art, nor strategy or grand strategy.
No, he's a bureaucrat.
The only military leaders that were aggressive and knew strategy were Prigozhin, who was killed, and Surovikin, who was relieved of his command. Actually, Surovikin has moved to Africa, to the Wagner groups in Africa. He's down there with them. If you are a good,
Best brains they had.
Exactly. You see, if you are a good and competent military commander, you are punished. If you are a lackluster commander, you are promoted, just like in the United States military. they believe both that Shoigu had Boghossian killed, and they believe that Shoigu should be shot for high treason. They do not like him. Okay, the guys on the front just have nothing but disdain for him. Okay, in Moscow, there are several opinions also. The first are that those that believe that Russia does not have to do anything because Ukraine will implode on its own and the new war in Israel will further erode support for Ukraine. Slovakia and Hungary have vetoed a European Union $52 billion aid package for Ukraine. Hungary asks, why throw good money after bad when it is obvious that Ukraine cannot win militarily? Prime Minister Robert Fico of Slovakia complains that Ukraine is so hopelessly corrupt that the funds would just go to enrich Ukrainian criminals. Now I got to tell you something about these Ukrainian criminals. They're Jewish. They're Zionists, just like Zelensky is. It's Zelensky and his clique.
Sure.
They're Zionists,
sure.
Jewish Zionists. Okay.
Yep.
European nations are no longer inviting Zelensky to speak because they are tired of his bullying and garish behavior. They say that they are doing just fine in the sanctions war and that through the BRICS de-dollarization, they are accomplishing their goals without a fight. After all, Putin is a fan of Sun Tzu, who said that the highest skill in war is to win the war without having to fight the battle. This can be argued to be reasonable strategically, but Sun Tzu also warned against fighting protracted wars like Russia is fighting in Ukraine now. And that would argue either strategic incompetence or just simply a stand down to allow a national disaster. You have to remember, Russia's already started their central bank digital currency and stuff. They still have cash. They're going to move, but I think the disaster is to make them quickly move to a complete digital currency. You know, with the chip in the hand and the whole works. The mark of the beast, in other words. Okay, so. A national disaster, like Israel just did on October 7th, in order to justify putting Russia on desperate ground, so that it will fight hard and citizens will make sacrifices for national defense. Desperate ground is also a strategic and tactical concept of Sun Tzu. And it dovetails nicely with the Leninist stand down to create chaos strategy. In other words, desperate ground is when it's Sun Tzu's idea that when you're surrounded on all sides and there's no hope at all and you're going to be exterminated, that makes people fight much harder than they normally would fight because there's no place to go. They have to fight or die. Okay, so that is what Israel just pulled on October 7th. It is a desperate ground situation. There are others in Moscow, however, who say that Russia should not go on any offensive now because it is very clear that we are on the precipice of World War III breaking out, and now is no time to get bogged down in an offensive. They may be drawn into war in Syria, and they would be expected to defend Iran if the U.S. Israel attacked them.
I see.
This does not explain why they did not go on a strategic offensive this summer to end the war quickly. That would have been better than just having to fight in Ukraine and fight in Iran at the same time. So it doesn't make sense. You have to ask yourself, did they know this was coming? If they did not, then this is just an excuse and not an explanation. So...
Here's another angle.
Hard to say.
Mitch, here's another angle. You mentioned Shoigu's mother was Ukrainian. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get that.
Right.
I don't think many people understand that when Vladimir Putin, this is the story, was a young boy going to school, second, third, fourth grade, fifth grade, his parents both had to work, and they lived in a flat somewhere, and the neighbors would take him in after school. He'd come home. And rather than be alone in his house, he'd go in with the neighbors. They'd help him with his homework. They'd feed him, and give him lunch or whatever, after school snacks. And he was that went on for apparently years. Well, the next door neighbor family is Jewish.
They also taught him German.
That's correct. So there's
these
another angle
Marxist
to this.
Jews. Marxist Jews at the time.
Yeah.
In other words, Zionists. A Marxist Jew is a Zionist.
And the other question is, if this were really an all-out war after 620 days or something, why do Kharkov, I guess Kiev would be the other one, Lviv, and then Kherson, why do those four main cities still have power and water? If you're trying to bring a nation to its knees, why do they still have water and power and life is going on pretty much as usual? It's a wartime backdrop. And why is Zelensky still alive? They could take him out in a second.
Well, listen to this. In 1999, when NATO bombed Serbia, what did they bomb? They bombed power stations, waterworks. That's usual targets, okay, to be bombed.
Yep.
So, yes, I suspect something fishy. I suspect this is a stand down. They're trying to create a new world order. The Antichrist is about to come into power, and the Antichrist is Zionist. Okay.
And the Holocaust is of whom? White Christian Zionists are being sacrificed. Over 500,000 dead at least under Zelensky's Holocaust machine of white Christian Ukrainians.
Listen, history tells us all about this. The Bolsheviks in Russia were Jewish Marxist Zionists. Okay, they murdered like 60 million people. They
something
just
like
wiped
that.
Out yep. everybody. Okay, and these
yep.
were white
yep.
Christian people that they wiped
yep.
out.
That's right.
And all the Bolshevik leaders in 1917 were Zionist Marxist Jews.
Just like Zelensky. It's the same.
Yeah.
And all of Zelensky's top government officials are all the same. They're all out of the tribe.
Well, look at the United States of America, Jeff.
I know. 70% of Biden's appointments.
Security, Treasury,
70%. 70%.
Jewish Zionists.
Correct.
Yeah. And do they care about white Christian people? No, we will be at their hands just like the poor Russians were, just like the Palestinians are now. We are next. Okay.
Do you all understand that? One last thing. The number of self-identifying Jewish Zionists or Jews on the planet is now, because the overall planet number of people has gone to 8 billion, 0.01% of the world population. 0.01% of the world population is running the planet, owns the planet.
Well, you know, according to Christian scripture, only 144,000 Jews make it through this thing. And I'm kind of suspecting that those are the only real Jews. Okay, not Zion. None of those 144,000 will be Zionist Jews. The Zionists don't believe in God. They are the Antichrist people. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah.
So let me talk about military strategy in Israel. Okay. The goal of the IDF is not to destroy Hamas, as they state. It is to ethnically cleanse Eretz Israel. And that's Israel, including the West Bank and Gaza Strip, of all Christians and Muslims, and have Eretz Israel for Jews alone. To be clear, this means ethnic Jews, because remember, over 65% of Israelis are atheists, and so not for the Jewish religion. Keep in mind that Marxism is Satanism, and Zionism is Jewish Marxism, just like critical theory is American Marxism. The motto of the Mossad is by way of deception. Okay? That's how they accomplish their goals, and they're good at it. So on October 7th, the Zionists stood down in order to create Israel's 9/11 in a gambit to realize Zionism's goal of Eretz Israel and the ethnic cleansing that would entail. It had to be a horrific 9/11 in order to justify all the war crimes that the Zionists intended to do. This whole operation is out of Zionist arrogance and hubris. They have inflamed the Muslim world with the criminal treatment of the Palestinians in Gaza and in the West Bank. Israel has bitten off more than it can chew, and this is also a stand down that serves a purpose. You see, the Israeli Defense Force only 169,500 active troops and 465,000 reserve troops. First, let me compare American reserves with Israeli reserves so you don't get the wrong idea. American reserve soldiers are in two classes, Army Reserves and National Guard. The National Guard is usually combat arms units made up of infantry, armor, armored cavalry, artillery, and air defense artillery. Army Reserve units tend to be combat support and combat service support units. These reservists and National Guardsmen train for at least 2 to 2.5 days per month, plus 2-week summer camps. Individual soldiers may also attend additional training on a voluntary basis. Many active duty soldiers serve in the reserves when their regular Army enlistment has expired, but that is on a voluntary basis, too. Israeli reserves are in the reserves when they complete 2 to 3 years of active service. So Israeli reserves are better trained initially than American reserves, but they only have to train for 30 days in a 3-year period.
Wow.
I'm not talking about 30 days spread over 3 years. I mean, just 30 days sometime in a 3-year period. That's it.
Wow.
Americans train for 30 days in a 1-year period, and it is spread out throughout the year, not just once in a 3-year period.
Right.
Infantry skills are very perishable. For example, if you have ever been an infantryman, you will have more skills than someone who has never been an infantryman. But after about a year of no practice, you are not as prepared as somebody who is at least a couple days training a month, and much less prepared than someone that is a current active infantryman.
Good point.
The National Guard Infantry Brigade deploys, they have at least a 90-day train-up time before they go into combat. That said, the Israeli Defense Forces rely very heavily on reservists. In all jobs, that is about 4 reservists for every active duty soldier, and they're not that well trained, okay? Israel has only 4 combat divisions that are, in fact, reserve divisions, and about 4 combat brigades in each, of which half of the brigades are active and half reserve. So just let me say that again. So a division has 4 brigades, 4 combat brigades, okay, and 2 of them are usually active and 2 are reserve. And that makes up a division. So each brigade is about 4,000 soldiers, and each division is about 20,000 soldiers. These include non-combat support soldiers. In addition, some infantry battalions are as much as 70% female. Whole battalions that are 70% female. LGBT soldiers serve openly and are thoroughly interspersed in all units. The Northern Command is the so I'm going to break down the Israeli Defense Force, what they've got. So you have a picture of what they're going. I mean, everybody says, oh, the IDF is just this really great military. But you know what? They're not that big. Let me tell you just how big they are and what they're composed of, okay? So the Northern Command is the 36th Armored Division with 1 Reserve Infantry Brigade, 1 Reserve Armored Brigade, 2 Active Armored Brigades, and 1 Infantry Brigade. It has an extra combat brigade because it must deal with Lebanon and Syria. The Southern Command is the 162nd Armored Division with 1 Reserve Armored Brigade, 1 Active Armored Brigade, 2 Active Infantry Brigades. It only has 1 reserve brigade because it is responsible for the Gaza border and the Negev Desert. The Central Command has 2 divisions, the 99th Infantry Division, meant to reinforce north or south, is comprised of 1 active infantry brigade, 1 active armor brigade, 1 reserve paratroop infantry brigade, and 1 reserve commando brigade. The 2nd Central Division, the 98th Paratrooper Infantry Division, is focused on the West Bank. It has 2 reserve paratrooper infantry brigades, 1 active paratrooper infantry brigade, and 1 active commando brigade. And these are the people who carry out the commando brigade. They carry out the attacks on Palestinians and the West Bank and, you know, bulldozer homes and stuff like that. Their next operation is to rout Hamas out of the northern Gaza Strip. This will be Military Operations Urban Terrain, or MOUT. It is very difficult and tedious to do. If buildings were intact, they could use robots to fight. But since they have reduced many of the buildings to rubble, it will not be possible to use robots. It makes the fighting much more difficult. there is a danger of Hezbollah opening a northern front against Israel, and they have over 150,000 rockets and missiles in stock, 40,000 being precision missiles. Hezbollah threatened to enter the war if Israel mounted an invasion in the Gaza Strip. So Israelis are just saying that is, quote, expanding ground operations in Gaza. They're not even calling it an invasion, which is a euphemism for an invasion. But the Muslims are not going to be fooled for long. Hezbollah will enter the war, and so will several other countries. Now Israel may threaten these countries with nukes, but you have to remember that these kings, they could be washed away, and their people are protesting, and they are pissed at Israel. They are going to demand action, okay? Look at how they're protesting in England and the United States. I mean, it's just, it's just, if they're that worked up about it here, just think how it's going to be in the Arab countries, okay? The United States is already on Israel's side in this war. Okay, so what you have to look at is, this is just a sort of a little footnote here, but you remember the other day this airplane flew from Tel Aviv and it landed in Dagestan in Russia.
Yes.
And all the people in Dagestan, which Dagestan is Turkish people, and they're the majority people in Dagestan, and it's part of Russia, but they went out and they stormed the airport because they didn't want a bunch of Israelis taking refuge in Russia, okay? So the news over here just says that it was something that, you know, they even tried to intimate that maybe Putin put them up to this and stuff, but that is not so. Please allow me to explain. So Turkey is Turkish, of course, but countries like Dagestan, like Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, these are all Turkic-speaking countries. These people, in their homes at night, they listen to President Erdogan of Turkey talking on the radio, and he is pulling no punches. He is saying he will go to war with Israel if they try to ethnic cleanse in Gaza.
Well, let's see.
Okay.
Let's see if he honors his word. I'm dubious about that. If he's told that you know you're going to be nuked, all your five largest cities will be gone, your infrastructure will be. What will Erdogan do then? I don't know. Here's the big play. Here's the big play, Mitch. No, nobody knows about this. Very few people. You listening do now. Pakistan has offered to send Erdogan as many nukes as he wants, anytime. Pakistan, which would instantly level the playing field. So that could be the big game changer. Well, what's a flight from Pakistan? A flight from Pakistan to Turkey is a couple hours.
Well, yeah, but you have to transport it to the airport, blah, 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 blah. It's, you know, military logistics. It takes more than just, you know, you can't just do it with a snap of a finger. You got to do all kinds of stuff to get it on there.
It, but it would be
another
done.
Another thing people forget.
Yeah.
The thing people forget, too, is Turkey has the second largest army in NATO is Turkey's army.
That's
okay?
Right.
They're the second largest. Okay, they get a giant military, and they're tough soldiers. They are very tough soldiers. They are very business-oriented. They will kick butt, okay? Now, the United States has an Air Force base at Incirlik in Turkey. Now, what is this protected by? It's protected by Air Force security guys, okay? And what do they have there? They have 50 B-1 gravity bombs, nuclear weapons, which can be dropped from an F-16 aircraft, and Turkey has F-16s. So the Turks can just go in there and take 50, they could have 50 nuclear weapons tomorrow if they wanted them. Because we can't stop their army from going in and taking them.
Right.
We don't have enough troops there at Incirlik to stop them. Okay. It's just, they can just take them if they want them.
I agree.
So Turkey is in a strong position. And you have to remember the history of Erdogan. You know, Kemal Atatürk was this anti-communist guy who wanted to modernize Turkey. So he, you know, took away the hijab and the fez and all that and made people just, and even used the Roman alphabet instead of Arabic writing because he wanted to modernize it and make it a secular state. Well, Erdogan's party and what Erdogan has always stood for is a revival of the Ottoman Empire. That is his dream.
He wants to be the new great sultan. That's right.
Right. And what is the Ottoman Empire? Well, it is what's now Israel was part of the Ottoman Empire.
That's true. Yeah.
So he's motivated, and I've been following his speeches. He's not calling any punches. He's speaking very strong. He's got his people riled up and upset. He's the one who got the people in Dagestan to go out to the airport to stop the Jewish refugees from Israel and stuff. They don't want them settling there. Okay, so actually, there were no Jewish people on that airplane, but you know, rumor and rumor control. It's just the way that it goes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the thing about the stand down here. Israel will then be put into an existential crisis and resort to flooding the Gaza tunnels with gasoline to burn out their enemy. That's the easiest way to do it. If pressed, they will have to go nuclear. If Israel nukes Iran, that will likely result in an all-out nuclear war, Armageddon. It will suck in almost all of the nations of the world. In one capacity or another. We already have 2,000 special forces troops fighting in Gaza today. If the Muslim world goes on the offensive against Israel and the United States, all of our troops in Syria, Iraq, Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, and the UAE will be the first to die. Our troops in Turkey will be next as Turkey moves to seize the 50 B-61 nuclear gravity bombs from the U.S. Air Force Base in Incirlik. The Zionists have opened the gates to hell, and this is intentional. They want World War III. You have to remember, it's World War III that they want, okay?
Yep.
We are facing the worst possible time in human history. You will not be allowed to blame the guilty, the Zionists. Soon you will be executed for thinking anti-Zionist thoughts. Welcome to the Zionist police state.
Oh,
we are.
Not
we have
good.
Arrived.
The U.S. B-1, what is it? What the hell is it? They're
B-61
nuclear bombs.
B-61.
Yeah. All right, they're coming out with a B-61.8 version, which is 24 times stronger than the Hiroshima bomb, and much stronger than this B-1 that they have now. It's big bomb. But they're not ready. They got to build them, so it'll be 2-3 years minimum. So right now they have the typical gravity bomb. Look, this thing could go anywhere. Right now, there's very little coverage of the horror that's going on in Gaza. It's like the Western media has basically just turned it off. It's not flowing like a garden hose anymore. It was in the beginning. It's not now. And that was even controlled. So I don't know what we're going to do by way of getting news out of there. It's very difficult to do. Al Jazeera is doing a great job with it. I put that up at the top of the homepage. You can click on and watch it anytime. It's live updated news. They're really doing a fine job, which is what American journalists once upon a time did, but no longer. So lies continue. Lies and deceit.
Or pure propaganda here. I mean, is there any network out there? I mean, Fox News is just as Zionist and just as compromised.
No, it's gone.
As CNN, MSNBC,
correct.
And any of those.
I try to tell people when they find the alt media, they haven't found nirvana. They've found just as much disinformation, kookism, misinformation than you're going to find in the alt, the MSM world. It's bad.
Right.
The alt media is very treacherous. Maybe even more so than the MSM. I don't know, but it's not easy. So you've got to really use your mind. You've got to think. You have to consult people that you trust and respect. Hopefully you'll trust and respect the work we do here. It's as good as I can possibly make it. And I've been at this a long time. We see through most of the trickery. We're not perfect, but we get most of it out of the way.
Well, I I think your webpage is one of the best one-stop pages for truth that I've seen anywhere.
Thank
just
you,
just your webpage alone.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I work hard on it, very hard. Put about 100 stories a day and 2 major uploads of news. It's a lot of work, but it's critically important. My friend, thank you. Excellent summary as always, and we will talk to you hopefully next week. Crazy out
there. Yeah, maybe. We'll see what happens.
Thanks, Mitchell. Okay.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, excellent report from Mitch Henderson, as always. You can find all these programs on the left-hand side of the homepage under Mitchell Henderson's name. Take a look, and they're there. And we will say goodnight now and be right back with you in 21 hours on the program. In the meantime, we'll be with you at Rents.com. Take care. Thanks for being here.